2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
Not getting a real under control vibe here.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes. All on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
He's not a monster, Gaston. You are.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And it is the movie show. You know, just when you thought this week would just never perk up. Just when you thought the inversion was going to put you under, and just because you're a little disappointed in the snowstorm today, although we did get some of them out, there's the movie show.
To ruin the rest of your day?
All is right in the world. We're like little Ralphie at the end. You know, when you finally get the BB gun.
I feel like the kid stuck to the pole.
You really didn't put your eye out. All is good in the world because of the movie show. Am I right or am I right?
That is really a rosy picture.
It's a rosy picture. Talking about putting lipstick on the pig. Yeah, it is the movie show here at KSL News Radio. Again, according to the script to which we fanatically adhere, we are going...
Is that written on toilet paper?
I don't know what this is. I think it's a napkin from Burger King. But anyway, it is time for the movie show preview, sponsored, Stephen.
Yes.
By Call Climate Services.
Have you made him go down and fix your boiler yet?
Well, not yet. I'm waiting until Dominion Energy actually hooks us up to natural gas down in Eureka. Now, they've been to my house. We've decided where
to put... You got power, too?
We decided to put where the meter's going to be and everything, but they're just slowly connecting everybody up to natural gas in Eureka. As I've proudly mentioned before, we are entering proudly...
The 20th century. Well done, sir.
It's pretty exciting. All right. Meanwhile, back at the show. Call Climate Service sponsoring the movie show preview.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
We're getting coaching from the studio. You know we're in trouble when these when these guys start coaching you, you know you're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so... The big movie review of the week is going to be The King's Daughter. We have been kind of dredging for movies this week. I don't know what it is. I guess nobody wants to compete with Spider-Man and Scream and some of the biggies that are in the box office.
I can't explain it. I mean, January normally is kind of a bleak month, but wow, this one was like turning over rocks.
And if you think, I mean, we're going to talk real bleak when we get to Royal Treatment.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is what Hallmark's response was to that movie. No, we'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not kidding you.
And Lifetime said, yeah, no way.
I was asked just a moment ago. I said, this makes kind of your run-of-the-mill Hallmark movie look like a worshipped classic. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, I knew from the moment that movie started, like when she's handing out donuts to people on the street. I'm like,
there is nothing in this movie that you have not seen 25 times before in multiple movies that have done it so incredibly better. And we thought those movies were cliche. But other than that, it's truly wonderful. So we're going to review The King's Daughter. That's a big movie review. Munich, we've been talking about that too, The Edge of War.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And A Shot Through the Wall and Ozark Season 4. You know that we're in an interesting time for movies when we've got this on our short list of movies we're going to talk about, Ozark Season 4.
Well, it doesn't matter what week it is. Ozark has been an incredible series.
Uh-huh.
And they've put out the first 7 episodes of this last season. This will be the last season. And then later in the year, there'll be another 7 episodes. And they sent it to me early. Said, would you like to watch? I'm like, yeah, I'll watch a little bit. All 7 episodes.
So you're addicted.
Oh, I was addicted before, and I was really looking forward to how in the world is Jason Bateman and Laura Linney going to get out of this mess.
Yeah,
and
yeah. They, you know, there really are some good series out there. There really are. Now, I have not, you know, addicted myself to Ozark yet.
So no, I get
to,
it.
I'll have to start working on that. Okay, what else have we got here? Movie news. Let's see. Oh, we're going to be talking with a special guest, and I don't know whether to pronounce it Basil or Basil, and it's Siokas. And we're going to be talking with him. He is the senior documentary programmer at Sundance.
Oh.
So that'll be fun. Let's see. What else have we got here? Streaming news, sponsored, of course, by our friends at Intellibed. Movie show Top 10, which is always, if not the highlight of the show, it, along with Telephone Torture, certainly is, you know, they're right up there, the top two, right?
Well...
Okay, and look at the time, and what else have we got here? Oh, just a bunch of stuff that we're going to get into on today's movie show right here at KSL News Radio. So, all right, all of that and more is coming up on today's movie show. And The King's Daughter, how did you see this movie, by the way?
Let's see.
Did you see it on streaming? Did you go to the theater?
Oh, no, no. I they sent me a link.
They sent you a link.
The missing link.
Well.
How did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
See, that's the problem. The King's Daughter, I have not seen.
Well, Pierce Brosnan and William Hurt in their finest performances to date.
Is this better for Pierce than Mamma Mia? Was? Does he sing as Louis XIV?
Well, here's the thing. This movie should have been campy, and he is the only one who doesn't know that.
Oh, and he's playing it straight.
Yeah. Louis XIV, the Sun King.
We'll give you the review of that coming up in just a moment.
The movie show.
Rule number one for surviving Zombieland, cardio.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cardio. See, I remember many of them. I
double
always,
tap. Was
I always think of the double tap. You know, that seems to be wise. You know, we even see that in Scream. You know, they go back. You know, they're never dead until you get them in the head. You know, so.
Yeah. Has that movie haunted you? Is that what's happening?
Oh, Scream. Blah. Anyway, it's the number one movie this week, so what do I know? All right, it's time for the review. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. We need the intro, the big movie review of the week.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you exactly what they think of the biggest release of the week.
Well, Doug shan't be telling you my opinion of The King's Daughter.
Well, thou dodged a bullet.
Thou dodgest a bullet. Well, you gotta handle this one, Steve. I was able to get links to everything else. And by the way, we were just discussing this off the air. The reason this is the big movie review of the week, and it's not the best movie by a long shot, but The King's Daughter is the one that's opening on the big screen, and we always prioritize that because this is the movie show and kind of the appreciators of traditional moviedom.
Yeah, we'd like to promote theater viewing as
theater
much as
viewing,
possible.
Theater viewing, of course.
And... Well, this one is going to intrigue you because it has Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
It has William Hurt.
Yeah, big cast.
A young woman, I think her name is Kea Skull, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful young actress. I mean, it's like, wow, okay, let's go. Well, Pierce plays Louis XIV. This is in 1684 in France. He is the Sun King, and everybody loves the Sun King. You know, he's like my fellow countrymen. The opening scene, and you know you're in trouble when you see him. He's got Favio hair, so he's like Favio's dad with flowing hair, riding a horse in slow motion.
Favio's dad. I'm trying to process that. Okay, I'm getting that image.
And he rides to the gates, and my fellow countrymen, we've just been through an amazing war. And somebody shoots him like, well, this is going to be a short movie. And they shoot him. He falls off the horse. And then people run up. Oh, my gosh. And they pick him up. And I don't know why they put him back on the horse. But he's like, where was I? I mean, that right then I thought, okay, really?
I told you the only person that can pull that off and really did pull that off was Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, I'm wondering if there's some sort of historical story there.
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I mean, I know he's cool and all, but
right,
and everybody loved him. And somehow they got permission to shoot this whole thing at Versailles.
Wow.
I mean, so the grounds, everything looks gorgeous, but so he's the king, and here's the story. He has a daughter that he doesn't know he had, but now he does. She's at a nunnery, and she's giving them fits. So they want her to come. He says, "We'll summon her. Let's bring her back." She's now a teenager. Well, she's in her early 20s.
So he's never met her?
No. He's never met her.
It was a different world,
wasn't it?
Well,
it's apparently the mother, you know, got pregnant and ran off.
Oh,
so he didn't know that, you know, she was.
So anyway. It wasn't his fault?
Well, kind of was, but... I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
But the nuns can't wait to get rid of her. Rachel Griffith is the mother superior. She goes, get her out of here and go send her back. And she doesn't know that she's the king's daughter. So the other plot is, okay, you're going to die here. The mean doctor says, there's a mermaid somewhere near the lost city of Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
And if you bring her back and you... kill her during the eclipse, then you'll have eternal life.
On a Thursday night.
I mean, I thought, are we really serious here?
Okay.
And so they go out and they throw depth charges, like they've got barrels of, and they blow them up. And like 2 seconds later, they catch Mermaid Mom and Mermaid Dad.
Oh, okay.
But they don't need Mermaid Dad. So he gets back into the drink, and they whisk the mermaid back to the castle.
And so this was a catch and release on Dad?
Yeah, they don't need it. The dude, he's out.
Dad's
but the lady,
well,
she's the prize here.
Okay.
And if we, you know, stab her in the heart at midnight or, no, it'd be
Is she a vampire mermaid?
What? They're playing it straight up. I mean, that's William Hurt is the priest who's advisor, you know, and I thought he was going to bust out laughing on occasion, but he doesn't. And everybody is playing this straight up, and you're like, oh, come on. I mean, this is the most ridiculous.
Well, was this a mermaid they had to keep in water, kind of like Splash?
They built this amazing moat grotto with a turning wheel.
Because you're not supposed to take them out of water.
Yeah. Oh, no, they can put her in a thing, and they kept pouring water on her during the
trip. Unless, of course,
she's
a vampire, and then maybe she just can't be in sunlight.
Well, no. But then she summons the young woman, who's a gifted musician, and she sings her siren song. And she's like, oh, I can play that. And she gets her cello out. And I was dying laughing, and I'm thinking,
Steve,
why
is emoting so much? I thought he was going to break out in song.
Oh, it is ridiculous.
So what's the grade on this, Steve?
Well, I gave it a C. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's PG and it's squeaky clean, but it wants desperately to be Princess Bride, but it doesn't hit any of the marks except for the fact that it is the unintended comedy of the year.
Yeah. You know, Princess Bride was such a great line on that. Because it had just enough snark to let you know that it was supposed to be campy. But it was real enough and fun enough that you went with it.
Yeah, but you knew it was campy. They knew it was campy. These people have no clue. They think they're, you know, doing Gone with the Wind here.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm sure when they saw the final result, they're like, what have we done here? And they had to spend a ton of money because these actors aren't cheap.
And Versailles ain't cheap.
Plus they're at Versailles. I mean, everywhere. And I just...
Okay.
The King's Daughter.
Rated PG.
Run, don't walk.
And get... But yet it gets a C.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's always the prince. I call him the Prince of Pomp and Circumstance.
Is this somebody waiting in the wings to become king?
I have.
Sinister?
Well, see, they have no money, so he has to marry her off.
Well, kings never have any money. We're going to find that out in another movie, which is called Royal Treatment.
Yeah, it's the exact same scenario.
They're always broke.
We need money. Marry the rich guy.
Okay.
I don't want to, Daddy. I don't love him. Okay.
Well, on that note,
it's
there
hilarious.
You have it. And that, believe it or not, is the big movie review of the week.
It does get better. I mean, Munich is better.
Yeah.
Ozark's better.
But not on the big screen.
Right, that's true.
Okay, all right.
The Movie Show.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Now see,
you stole your gig.
That's the kind of great producer we have. Gustavo knows that I love that scene, and he got it. But he probably just did it by mistake.
Well, or he got tired of hearing you do it.
But I do it better than Bela Lugosi.
Is that where you're going to go with?
Of course, because it's just a statement of fact.
Wow.
Now, I don't have the creepy surroundings.
Doug's world, we're
unless,
just
of course,
space.
Unless, of course, I'm standing next to you. But.
What?
You didn't hear that you were busy chortling during
my.
Yeah. I don't have the creepy surroundings.
Oh, unless you're with me.
With you. The Bela Lugosi hat. So, all right. All right. Time to shut up.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel. The biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
Okay, movie news, headlines. Spider-Man No Way Home will become the fourth biggest movie at the U.S. box office this week, passing the 1.625 total worldwide. The first pandemic-era film to pass $1 billion. We'll talk more and tell you kind of where other numbers are when we run through the movie show top 10, but that movie is simply killing it, and we still haven't had it in China.
Yeah, and may not.
Yeah.
It did open in Japan, so those numbers are going up.
But think about it. If it does open in China, good grief, that is the second largest movie market in the world. And, oh, my goodness, it could easily go over $2 billion.
You know, I think what's going to happen is once the after the Olympics,
yeah,
maybe they'll kind of and everything goes well there.
Yeah, and in case you're not aware of that, that's why China has their hackles up, because we are allowing the athletes to go, but diplomats and so on, dignitaries, will not be going in protest. And so the Chinese have their nose out of joint on that.
That's one of the reasons.
One of the reasons. But it's the primary reason.
Yeah.
That's the reason that everybody's giving. So, all right, what have you got, Stephen?
Bong Joon-ho. He was the guy that won the Oscar a couple years ago for Parasite, also won Best Picture, which shocked everybody. He's in talks to write and direct a screen adaptation of a soon-to-be-released Edward Ashton novel called Mickey 7.
Mm.
And Robert Pattinson is in talks to star in it. The story is, it's a story about an expendable, a disposable employee on a human expedition to colonize an ice world. And they always send him out. He's like a replicant or whatever. And if there's a dangerous situation, sometimes, deadly situation, they send Mickey.
So that's his job description? You are an expendable?
Yes.
Okay.
And he knows that going in. And so he's like, whatever. But now we're at Mickey 7. And he's like, all right, I've died 6 times now. And he comes back with all the memories.
Okay.
And they replicate his body. And, he's like, so I'm thinking he might be a little ticked off at this point. So Mickey 7, he's not happy. He's beginning to get the picture.
See, Tom Cruise would have been good in that role, because he's been in movies where he gets killed and then he learns something, and then he gets killed again, and he learns something.
It's funny you should mention that, because that's my other story is about him. But so it looks like a kind of an interesting movie.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Okay.
Mickey 7, it's called.
We all love The Godfather 3, right?
Oh, no.
I watched that. I've only seen
They've re-edited it, though, haven't
they? I don't know. The one I saw was just as bad as the first time I saw it. But this has nothing to do with the movie itself, other than the original Sicilian castle used in The Godfather 3 is on sale. So you may want to just, take a peek at this. It's Sotheby's Realty, and it's a mere $7 million. Actually, I was surprised.
The place in New York where
No, this is in Sicilia. Sicily.
Oh.
So, The Godfather Part 3 came out Christmas Day 1990. The original classic, of course, was 1972. And in the listing, they slate that, They're not really playing the movie factor. When you read all of the information at Sotheby's,
a lot of things happen.
They don't say, "Hey, this was in The Godfather," because they don't feel that movie
fans. Avalonia got blown up.
That was in Godfather 1 and 2,
see
that scene. This is 3. And to tell you the truth, that's the first thing I thought of, too. And they said, "Now this is just in 3. But it has appeared in other films of the era. 1969's The Splendid Summer, and it's been used some little quick shots in other movies as well. But because it was built in 1800 before running water, it only has 8 bathrooms, Steve. 22 bedrooms. Now, I don't know, when they say square meters, I don't know what they're talking about. 4,000 square meters in the building itself, on 8,500 square meters of land. So if you want to just snarf this baby up, it's like
cool 7.
It's like 6 million euros or $7 million.
Oh.
There you go.
That's a deal.
Go ahead, top that.
Well, one, I just found out yesterday that Pattinson, another Pattinson story, his new movie is going to run 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Batman, that's March 4th.
Wow.
But Space Entertainment Enterprise, have you heard of these people?
These are the guys that are taking stars and shooting scenes, aren't they?
No, they're not only that, but they're building a pod that's going to attach to the International Space Station.
Yeah.
And they're going to have it ready, and it's going to be in operation by 2024.
So it's like a movie studio
in
space.
They're going to put
a
studio in space, and then eventually in 2028, they're going to send it off and do its own thing.
Is this where Tom's going to shoot new
well,
movies?
Well, that's where... He's just connected to that. It's the same company.
I mean, now that we've had Shatner in space, I mean, Cruise in space? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, he's working on a movie with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
They're going to go into space and make a movie.
Crazy. Yeah. George Clooney is saying that, you know, he feels there's almost a little prejudice against the types of movies that he makes on the big screen. And he may be right. The Tender Bar, for example, he said, you know, this was a really good hit, a really good outlet for us. We took it to streaming because nobody would put it on the big screen. And, you know, now he was basing that on past experience. Right now, I think it would have really gone well.
It's actually a really good movie.
It is a great movie. I like that movie so much more. But he said the theater's attitudes towards the films that he likes to make, he said it's been waning for some time. He said it's been harder and harder pre-pandemic to get the movies that he likes to make on the big screen. He said it is always a fight to get any movie picked up for release in theaters. And he said, thanks to the streaming services, normally we're hearing stars and directors and everything say exactly the opposite.
Yeah, that is odd.
But I guess because of his specialty and his particular tastes, he feels that the theaters have picked on him. And he said, you know, hey, the streaming services have opened the doors to works like The Tender Bar, and he's
well, the thing is, The Tender Bar opened in theaters, and it didn't do very well.
I know.
So what's
he
about?
He feels they're not promoting it. He feels that they don't highlight it. They don't put it on the proper screens. And, you know, there's a responsibility on the exhibitors as well.
I'm guessing he didn't call Megaplex.
So yeah, no, Megaplex would have loved it. But then again, Megaplex has enough screens.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. You know, they've been able to show classics. They've been able to show local cinema like nobody else can.
Right.
Because they have the number of screens to do it.
And they have the autonomy to do it.
And they have, how can I say it, the chutzpah to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so,
and they support local cinema, like
that's
you said.
Right. So anything else in movie news?
No, that's pretty
much
it.
All right. Well, there you have it in all of its glory. The movie news here on the Infamous Movie Show at KSL News Radio. Let's take a brief respite. We'll come right back, and we've got more in store. We probably ought to review one of these movies. How about if we talk about Ozark Season 4?
Ooh, yes, yes, yes.
Steve is so excited. I may have to actually discover what Ozark is all about.
Well, it's just this normal family that gets, they go down a rabbit hole, and it just keeps going deeper and deeper. They get in more trouble and more trouble.
And we'll find out more about that.
The Movie Show.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Nothing says The Movie Show like Psycho.
Yeah.
There's just something kind of poetic about it. Okay, Stephen, now I don't know if we have any sound from Ozark Season 4. Apparently we do.
Yay.
Is it in English? Here we go. Yes. Ozark Season 4.
What's this message from Mexico so important you had to drag us all in here?
The Navarro cartel has been made aware that you intend to start producing heroin again. They have instructed us to warn you. Their response is going to be quick, and it's going to be brutal.
We're just the messengers here.
Okay.
Okay, so initially, these people, Jason Bateman, it's just a lowly accountant in some Chicago firm, and they decide, you know what? I mean, he's really smart and does all the computer stuff extremely well. Figured out a way to launder money.
Okay.
And so now you're working for nefarious people, and so they end up moving to the Ozarks, Lake of the Ozark, and they start these companies so that they can, you know, launder the money through them. Like they buy a funeral home.
Yeah.
Or they start a casino. And it's really cool how
kind
they...
Kind of like the olive oil company
The
Godfather.
Yeah, exactly. Some way to make the money, to clean the money. And then, of course, the Navarros are from Mexico, and they're huge drug dealers, and they're shipping all this stuff up. But they, you know, they have demands. Like, you better take care of this. Well, suddenly, I mean, they're down this rabbit hole. And as the end of the third season, the lawyer who has been working with them for the Navarro family, I mean, they shoot her right in front of them. And in fact, you know, they get covered with. And so this season starts with them in the bathroom, like, cleaning out their hair and stuff. You're like, oh, my gosh. And then they're supposed to be at this birthday party, you know, and I think the Navarros wanted to make sure they know, don't mess with us because you just saw what can happen.
Yeah.
So they've got two kids, two teenage, a daughter and a son. And the son is really smart like dad, and he figures out how to do computer. So all of this stuff is happening, and now they're back in the Ozarks, and the Navarros, they've got this up-and-coming nephew who's just wanting to take over. And he's a nightmare, and it's insanity.
Wow.
But here are these regular, normal people, and Laura Linney is the one who probably has changed the most. She was sort of a, you know, just, you know, nice little housewifey thing, and now she's like masterminding. She's figuring stuff out and taking people out if they need to be, you know, escorted out of the building, so to speak.
They can't take them to Wyoming. That's too far away.
No, and that one's crowded. There's too much going on. It's filling up. This is one of those rabbit holes where I am definitely hooked. The first seven episodes of season four are available today on Netflix. I guarantee you, those who watch Ozark, they're going to binge all seven of them. I sat there all day.
You might be ruining Dee's childhood because one of her fondest memories is her dad and mom and the family would go down to Lake of the Ozarks when it was just kind of a little peaceful place where you'd rent rowboats and things like that.
That will change.
Okay, there you have it. Season four.
Season four, the first seven episodes now, and then later this year, the final seven episodes.
The Movie Show.
Mr. Burgundy, you are acting like a baby.
I'm not a baby. I'm a man. I am an anchorman!
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Basil Cioco is going to join us on the movie show right now, and we're all focused on Sundance, and unfortunately it's not the hybrid that we had hoped for this year, and it's gone back to all virtual. But it was interesting when we were talking with Virginia Pierce. You know, we kind of look at last year, oh, gosh, that's too bad. She said, you know, but it's interesting. Sundance had exposure to more people last year because they could go online and everything. And it was really quite remarkable, the reach. And, of course, this year they hoped that they would be able to kind of keep that in the basket as well, the reach, but yet have the opportunity for people to meet in person and for many of those live events to be streamed. And so it's an interesting, bizarre kind of backhanded blessing that a lot of people are able to participate in Sundance that was never imagined before.
But the communal experience.
Oh, you lose that. The buzz and the vibe and the excitement and walking up Main Street. We've done many a broadcast there on Main Street. We've done it at the Utah Film Studios. We've been a part of that. And there is just a vibrancy. And then you look at you hate to always bring it down to dollars and cents, but what that does for the economy of Summit County, for Utah, and oh my goodness. And we wanted to chat a little bit because everybody looks forward to the documentaries. Sundance is just famous, of course, for independent filmmaking, and documentaries are a big, big part of that. And Basil, thank you so much for being willing to join us here on the movie show today.
Of course, my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about the effect of and just your thoughts generally before we talk about some of the documentaries this year and the process that people go through to get their docs in the Sundance Film Festival. What's the vibe among your documentary filmmakers this year with the format of Sundance again being all online?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're certainly disappointed that we weren't able to come back and do the festival in person in Utah. But you know, just experiencing the festival last night, the launch of it online, listening in to audiences through chat functions, seeing the social media erupt when films were premiering. People are engaged. Filmmakers are engaged. They're really happy to have that experience of being able to still have connections with audiences seeing their films. And so we've always, as you said, we always were planning a hybrid format. So there always was going to be an online component. So that's not something new for us this year, but we are making the absolute best of it, and we are seeing audiences turn up for it. So we're excited, and that enthusiasm is being felt.
What is the process that a filmmaker has to go to in order to be part of the Sundance Film Festival with their documentaries?
So we have an open submission process. We open it up typically every year in June, anybody can submit. They can go to our website to get information about that. We haven't opened yet, but we'll open in June. We go through a very extensive screening process to see every single film that gets submitted to us. We have a very dedicated team of programmers, myself included, who watch all these films and sort of debate amongst ourselves what works for us, what really feels fresh and different and interesting. And ultimately, it's a process of sort of talking through these films and seeing what makes sense for us to show together. It's a very long, complicated process. We're passionate about these films. It's hard to get into Sundance, like it is hard to get into many festivals, but we do that because we want to keep a certain level of quality, a certain level of excitement around the titles that we do include in the lineup finally.
Let's talk about some of the documentaries that are getting a lot of buzz. I actually left my list, but there's one with Elizabeth Banks that takes us back to Chicago, I believe, of 1968, prior to Roe v. Wade. Maybe you could tell us about that one. That one intrigued me.
Sure. So what's interesting this year is that we have a couple of films that are dealing with the same exact group of people. One of them is a fiction film. The one you mentioned is called Call Jane. And then there is a documentary version of the same story called The Jane. So Elizabeth is in the fiction version, but we do have both the fiction and the nonfiction. Both films are fantastic, and they're actually really great companion pieces for one another. We encourage people to see both, obviously, but it does tell this story of a sort of intrepid group of women who basically operated underground services to let women know about options and help them make decisions around their reproductive rights before Roe v. Wade was decided. So the fictional version is just a really great star-studded cast who do a fantastic job of really humanizing this really important and really dramatic time period. And the fiction version, the nonfiction version, I should say, The Jane, really talks to the actual women themselves and kind of goes into almost like a sort of heist film or thriller film in a way in terms of how they operated, evaded the law, and sort of provided this service for desperate women.
What are some of the other films, because they come from around the world, what are some of the others that you are particularly excited to see yourself? I know you've got to keep a degree of fairness here, but what are some of the titles that are really resonating with you and those who actually screen these films to come in?
For sure. We love all these films, so not necessarily playing favorites, but I'm happy to highlight some of the films that we absolutely love amongst all the others. I think audiences should check out Calendar Girls. This is a film that comes from Finland, but it is about a Floridian community of women over 60 who have a volunteer dance troupe. They go around to senior centers. They go around to store openings. They go around to wherever they can spread their joy, do these really elaborate dance numbers, and just make people happy. And it tells the story of these women and sort of finding community together, finding friendship, and finding a purpose later in life. So it's a really life-affirming, inspiring film that we think audiences are going to absolutely love. I'd also point out one of my absolute favorite films is the film Lucy and Desi. That's a documentary about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. It is the first documentary by Amy Poehler, so she knows a thing or two about comedy herself. But it really tells the story of their love and their creative collaboration, the story of a woman running her own studio, the story of a Latin man in Hollywood being a creative powerhouse at a time when women and people of color weren't necessarily given opportunity to do so. And it's, it draws on really amazing, never-before-heard footage, audio recordings that, that Lucy did as preparing for a book. And so she's really honest, and it's just a really, just for fans of I Love Lucy, for fans of that period of Hollywood and TV history, it's just a delight.
Boy, that does sound fascinating.
I'd also point out, yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's great, and it's just, you just love it. And so, so much footage and stuff that you've never seen before, and it just really gets to the heart of their relationship. I'd also throw in one more, if I could, which is just a film that obviously has a special resonance with the Utah community, which is the film The Mission. It's a documentary that's about LDS missionaries going off to Finland to spend their time talking about their faith. And to, you know, it follows these young people as they are sort of away from home, doing what their faith dictates, talking to people in this country, Finland, which is actually a really secular community. So they are dealing with the frustrations and dealing with sort of all of the pressures that go along with being a young person not at home and doing something that, that they've been preparing to do all their lives. So it's a really eye-opening, very respectful, really interesting look at our Mormon at our Mormon community as they are doing one of the most important things in their young lives.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. We had the opportunity to talk about that movie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in our area are really excited to chat about that. Sundance never walks away from controversy and encourages the independent spirit and so on. Is there a documentary this year that might just kind of set people back on their heels? Will there be a movie that everybody's talking about for kind of a in the controversial arena, which, again, Sundance never shies away from?
You're right. We don't shy away from it. I mean, we throw these films out there into the world. We give them a platform to sort of reach audiences and to get conversations going. So we love conversation. We love people to be able to talk about films. And not everybody is going to agree on every single film, and that's okay. And we're fine with that. You know, I think one film that is a really sort of very timely issue is a film we only announced about a week or so ago called The American Dream and Other Fairy Tales. And that's from the great filmmaker Abigail Disney. She is part of the Disney dynasty, and she looks at income inequality in America through the lens of her family story. Particularly, she was reached out to by folks that work at Disneyland, you know, the cast members, as they call them, people behind the scenes, people running concessions, people doing jobs at the park, who are being paid in such a way that they are basically below poverty line. And so she goes out of her way to sort of learn about these people, learn about their plight, and really take to task the idea that, you know, you've got Disney, this giant multi-billionaire conglomeration with the CEO making millions and millions of dollars, but then you've got people working for them who make virtually nothing. So it's a really personal but really interesting look at these things that are affecting Americans all over the country. But it's done in a way that really resonates with the filmmaker's own background. So that's one that you know can be controversial for sure.
Sure.
And certainly there's a lot of other titles in here. We've got a film called Tentura. In the world cinema side, which will be a challenging film. We know that for lots of audiences. It looks at the foundation of Israel, and it looks at the controversial and alleged actions that took place during the foundation of Israel that cleared out Palestinian villages. You know, it's something that we want audiences to watch and to sort of watch before they judge. And it's a thought-provoking film, certainly.
Sounds fascinating this year. And Basil, I so appreciate you joining us, and especially with the uniqueness that we've had over the last two Sundance Film Festivals. And we all were indeed keeping our fingers crossed that this one could be the hybrid. And I appreciate you bringing this information to our movie show listeners. We wish you the very, very best. And if you were just to give somebody advice, I was reading an article yesterday that said, you know, basically, if you can get Netflix, if you can get Disney Plus, you can get the streaming for the Sundance Film Festival. What would you recommend for people to get more information? What's the best way to take a look at these documentaries and see which ones you want to screen? Kind of the playbill, as it were.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I would say, first of all, just check out our website, festival.sundance.org. There's information there about all the offerings. But I want to make sure that your listeners definitely know that we do a lot of events for Utah audiences through the year and during the festival. We have a selection of free online screenings this year that Utahns can register for online. There are also discounted single tickets beginning this coming Wednesday for Utahns. So definitely check out sundance.org/Sundance Locals. So again, that's sundance.org/Sundance Locals, and that provides a lot of information about the offerings that we're doing for the local community, because we love Utah, we love our neighbors there, and we want to make sure you all can check out the offerings that we have this year.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us on the movie show. We'll look forward to more conversations, and best of luck for the Sundance documentaries in the festival for 2022.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Basil Tsiolkos, with us.
Can you imagine how many submissions that they?
Oh, give? Can you imagine what they're filtering through?
I bet they probably watched 10,000.
Oh, it must be absolutely crazy. And again, coming in from all over the world, and I had such high hopes for Sundance this year. I thought, what an amazing thing to kind of take the best of what we learned in a crisis situation last year, mm-hmm. in 2021, and then meld it with the traditional excitement of the gatherings and the confabs, recognizing we still need to be very careful and so on. And, out of almost, the mother of invention, as it were, crisis and difficulties, it's amazing what comes out of that. And I would be very surprised if major elements of what we've learned over the last 2 years aren't the future of Sundance for years and years and years to come, without losing that festival environment where you can rub shoulders with incredible people.
Just getting to see people again
and
just talk to them personally.
Yeah, just meander up and down the street. That's part of the fun. There was a time when Robert Redford and others were concerned that it was going way too Hollywood, and there was way too much focus on the Paris Hiltons and, the celeb factor.
All the side stuff.
But there is something really magic when the mix is right to walk up the street. My favorite story is when what's the title of the Brian Wilson thing? Love and Mercy.
Yeah,
Love and Mercy. And when he was up there for that film, and people would walk into just a little, saloon, tavern, watering hole, and he'd be playing the piano, and it was incredible. That type of thing is so much fun.
I walked out of a movie in the Egyptian Theater, and there was this shorter man standing in front of me. And we were both, and I look at him, and it was Defoe.
Yeah.
Willem Defoe was in that. I mean, everybody just, Jackie Chan. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's incredible. There was a particularly magic year that when Chris Hicks and I were doing it, we were Prospector Square. And, we did the whole movie show from there. And the people that came through. It was remarkable. I mean, Robert Stack, we had some people even before their full tilt stardom.
Didn't we have one of the Disneys? Didn't Roy Disney?
Roy Disney was, I did a remote with him once. I sat right next to Roy Disney and did an interview down at Disneyland. We might have had him, I think, on the phone. I can't remember.
I seem to recall we were in.
And then Raul Julia. And, he just sitting there, we're just talking. And it is there's a magic to film festivals in general, Sundance in particular. And I hope at some point next year, hopefully, we'll be able to test that hybrid.
Planning on a weekend of binge watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Hey, streaming news. First of all, I was remiss. I missed one story that I really kind of liked in our movie news, and it was Christmas Story Christmas is coming early for Legendary Films and Warner Brothers. They're gearing up to make a sequel to the Yuletide holiday classic Christmas Story.
Are they ignoring the fact that they did a sequel already?
Well, yeah, but that was Le Bad Cinema. I think they're just trying to forget that. Mm. But they closed the deal with Peter Billingsley, who, of course, was Little Ralphie in the original 1983 movie. And it's going to be titled A Christmas Story Christmas, directed by Clay Cadis, and I hope I'm saying that right, and he is already well known for the Christmas Chronicles that he did Netflix. Yeah, that was a nice series. Billingsley is producing along with Vince Vaughn, and the news story will take place in the 1970s, and it sees an adult little Ralphie returning to his house there on what street?
I can't remember.
Cleveland Street.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Cleveland Street, to deliver his kids a magical Christmas just like the one that he had.
Did he not remember when he was his growing Christmas up? Was horrible?
Not, but he finally got.
Remember, he shot his eye out.
And no, he didn't. But remember at the end, he goes, "All is good with the world. It was the perfect Christmas." They went and they had Chinese turkey. That is one of my favorite scenes in cinema. And when the old man's going, "But it's smiling." And then he goes, "Flap," you know. And
everybody screams.
Just horrified. So anyway, and by the way, Billingsley, he was the producer on the Broadway musical adaptation of A Christmas Story. So,
you know, he's been producing a lot of stuff. He and Vince Vaughn they did another series called F is for Family with Bill Burr, that's kind of sizzling language, but
yep,
a hilarious show.
Okay, what have you got for us?
Well, I've been watching a couple of things. We mentioned Ozark, the season 4. Afterlife with, what's his name, Ricky Gervais, is a really touching story about how he lost his wife, and not in real life. But
is that the one you were telling me about with blistering language?
Yes, but, again, it's British, and you know they can come up with some pretty good words.
Oh, stuff that's just common. I mean, you think of how rank our language and use of expletives is in this country.
Yeah.
Wow, we are minor league compared to the Brits.
They seem to use one word
regularly,
is
really
and
offensive.
It's kind of hard to. Yeah. And I've been watching the Peacemaker. It's actually pretty funny, and just like that, the Sex and the City kind of redo there.
Yeah.
By the way, your show Bridgerton is season 2 will be on March 25th.
That is a strange series.
I couldn't get into it, but you just seem
kind of like we're in a little bit of an alternative universe. But there, it is interesting the way the story is told.
So, well, they're touting it March 25th. It'll be back. So
okay, Netflix, and boy, if you've seen the stock over the last little while, and some of the reasons the stock market has been tanking this week has been Netflix. Wow.
Why? What's happening?
And their stock has dropped, and apparently. The latest Netflix shareholder letter included a line heard around the world: while this added competition may be affecting our marginal growth some, that phrase alone just sent, because, you know, they've been skyrocketing. It's like money has been plentiful.
Money.
Oh, exactly. And you and I for years have been saying, how do they justify this kind of money with the revenue? And they are now openly admitting that streaming competition is affecting the subscriber growth. And so, you know, this will bounce probably, but just those few little words in a shareholder's letter, just, you know, people that just think the heyday is never going to end, there will never be a bad harvest. You know, they're just freaking out. So,
well,
anyway.
Not to mention all their competition is spending billions of dollars on content.
Well, and when you start, all of a sudden, when you didn't have the mouse, you know, knocking at your door.
Right.
I mean, good grief. Talk about a company with a legacy and money. And we all love Disney, but they're brutal.
Yeah, they can be tough.
Ooh, tough, tough, tough. The mouse can be tough. What have you?
I don't know if anybody's been watching the Book of Boba Fett, but it's kind of a slow cooker. I have to admit, it's when he's riding around on this horned woolly mammoth thing that walks slower than you can walk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, everyone around you is on those little speed things that float and go 100 miles an hour, and you're on this lumbering, "I'm just going to town." Like,
is it tradition?
Well, he says he doesn't like to. I don't know. But then now he got his spaceship back.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, maybe he'll. And he has a jetpack. That's the other thing. Like, dude, you can be here and there in 2 seconds.
He needs to talk to Buzz Lightyear.
And yet he's on this lumbering old. Finally, he said, "Well, girl, I'm going to send you on your way and have little baby mammoth things.
Okay.
So I guess we're done with that. But the fact that he walks into town and everybody's like, what is he doing?
Slow cooking, huh?
Yeah, it's a tough watch.
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Okay, which streaming services had the best original movies in 2021? This is ranked by Rotten Tomatoes, the average. So this isn't money or anything else, just the best original movies. Number 9, Rotten Tomatoes says, is Peacock. Number 8 is Paramount. Number 7 is Prime Video. Number 6, Netflix.
Really? I bet you Apple TV is up there.
5 is Hulu. 4 is HBO Max. 3, The Mouse House, Disney Plus. Number 2, you're right, Apple TV Plus. And this, Shudder. I mean, this is where the artsy folks are
just
going.
That's all horror movies.
I know. Shudder is a niche service that caters to fans of the horror genre. This is Rotten Tomatoes, and it's just opinion. Has nothing to do with, you know, yeah, number 1, Shudder.
No.
No.
We're not. It's campy horror movies.
We're not buying that. But, you know,
Apple TV has a lot of good qualities, too.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's probably the one.
Like Macbeth and Coda.
I mean, if you look and if you kind of take the we're going to make a statement here things, not that we've ever seen that before.
Yeah, we do it every year.
But yeah, we do it. But when you look at HBO Max is number 4, Disney is number 3, 2 is Apple TV, and number 6 is Netflix, 5 is Hulu. I mean, those are powerhouses, and
well,
I think the
when you start thinking about it, I mean, we're going to talk about a movie, Royal Treatment, that's on Netflix, and it is garbage.
It is garbage. It is really, I mean,
I'm shocked that they would.
I mean, there's nothing horribly offensive about it, and when I described it to Dee last night on the phone, she's back in Kansas City with her sister, but honestly, I was describing it to Dee, and do you know the first things out of her mouth? I would have liked that.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
You know.
But it's just done so poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Oh.
Anyway. So you can see Netflix is quantity.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they're all
quality.
Over the place.
Yeah. And they've got
some of the stuff that they've done has blown me away.
Yeah.
And remember, they're the ones that broke into the Academy and everything else with what they were producing.
Yeah.
Roma and, wow, yeah. Okay, well, there you have the streaming news here at KSL.
The Movie Show.
Your little girlfriend gave me the stink eye in art class yesterday.
Katrina's not my girlfriend, all right? And I doubt that she gave you the stink eye. That's just the way her face looks, you know? That's just her face.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, we have reviewed The King's Daughter. That's really the only big movie on the big screen, or semi-big, or, well, kind of big. We've talked about Ozark Season 4. How about A Shot Through the Wall?
A Shot Through the Wall. Now, this is an interesting story in that it's set in Brooklyn. An Asian American he's partnered up with a guy there. And right off the bat, I thought, what's going on here? Because there's, you know, some African-American guys just hanging out on the corner. It's during school, and they're younger. And so, you know, they roust him. What are you guys up to? What's in your bags? And I thought, okay, first of all, racial profiling right there. And one of the guys just takes off running, and they go chase after him. And the Asian-American pulls out his gun, and they're going around the corner, and his weapon discharges, and the shot goes through the wall and kills a 20, 22-year-old African-American.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's, you know, obviously upset, but, you know, the young man, it's an accidental discharge. It wasn't like, you know,
right.
He saw the guy and shot him.
Right.
But they're, you know, going to try him for manslaughter, and, I mean, it makes a big case out of it. And I thought, okay, I see what you're trying to say here, but
because that is manslaughter.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It is.
And so the poor guy, he doesn't know what to do, and, you know, he's got the it's one of those movies that I really wish it had been better done, because the subject matter deserved better treatment,
right.
I guess is what I'm saying. Because and how it ended, it's just like, what?
So what's the grade?
I gave it a B minus.
Okay.
The characters were all interesting. They just didn't execute. Well, that's a.
And how do we watch it?
Well, it's in theaters. I couldn't find one locally, but it's also on video on demand.
Okay, it's called A Shot
Through the Wall. And it is rated.
The Movie Show.
Get off my lawn.
Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, Stephen, I'm thinking that it is time for a little telephone torture. Don't you think?
Does feel like one of those kind of days, doesn't it?
It does, you know. This morning when I woke up, you know, it was yesterday was foggy and we had a little snow today.
Like Hounds of the Baskerville foggy.
I know, it was like
I couldn't see the house across the street.
Yeah, and that's unusual in our neighborhood. Yeah. You know, you'll see it down around the Jordan River a lot, but wow, it was something. So, I think a little telephone torture right now might perk people up.
Well, perk you up. You know, I'm not sure about the rest of them.
It's a perky thing that we do here on the radio.
Yeah, call people losers, sure.
Of course. Of course. And they savor it, Stephen.
I'm still waiting for the T-shirts. We need more.
I know.
Blick T-shirts.
You're not wearing your Blick T-shirt.
My these colors don't run, and
what
I realize
that
it's an American flag.
Is that it?
You pagan?
Gosh, I couldn't see it because you have your hoodie all zipped up around it.
Well, yeah.
So it's a Blick flag.
And I thought, well, these colors don't run, but of course they're black on black, so they wouldn't normally.
Okay, boy, are we in the weeds. As if you thought telephone torture was weird. I'm wearing a really cool pullover sweater.
Is that a Patagonia? Hold on.
It's a
clone. Oh, Eddie.
Oh, it's an Eddie Bauer. I don't know. It was a Christmas gift. Look, I'm wearing my Christmas present. Okay, so.
You don't buy your own clothes.
Stephen,
ever, do
no, I don't. You know, if I buy my own clothes, you'll know it. It's D that keeps me on the straight and narrow there. Okay, so, Stephen, I'm
five.
Thinking five. Ooh, you're enthusiastic about that five, too.
No, I'm not.
It's sure you are.
Five less listeners.
Sure you are five. Do we have five listeners?
Well, we're about to find out.
We're about to find out. Okay, we're going to put you to the test. KSL Talk is the number, and what is at stake? Above and beyond either being a loser or a big wiener, you are going to receive fabulous prizes worth up to dollars if you are the big wiener, and that's two tickets to the Megaplex Theaters. It's a tub of popcorn.
To see the King's Daughter?
No, you don't want to see the King's Daughter.
Maybe Spider-Man for the 23rd time.
Spider-Man, or you know, go see Dune, or go see West Side Story, or something like that.
Yeah, something's coming back on the IMAX this
really
week.
Good. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, two tickets, two drinks, tub of popcorn. It could be yours because you are wise enough to listen to the movie show. Let's go to our first phone call. And hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello. You don't sound very cheerful. Ooh,
well, I'd rather not be a loser.
Well, but you are a loser. We just have to tell you straight up, you are a loser.
Does the loser have a name?
I don't know.
The loser has a name. It's Tom.
It's Tom, the loser, and Ty is going to make you feel so much better about being a loser. Here we go.
Because losing sucks.
Yeah, it's just that simple. Nice. You know? Nobody puts it on the bottom line like Carl. He delivers, I've heard. Okay, now let's go back to the phone line. This will be caller number two, which makes them a potential winner, but almost assuredly they will be. Hi, who's this?
This is Bert.
Burke.
I was disappointed you guys didn't mention that Nightmare Alley was a remake of an old Tyrone Power movie.
That's, you know, I didn't know that when we reviewed it. But I saw it on TCM, or one of them, the other day, and Tyrone Power is the Bradley Cooper character.
Right.
And you're absolutely, I think, I can't remember if Eddie, what's his name, on TCM did it on Noir Alley or what, but I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I was remiss. I should have known that and did not.
So
but,
I win something then, huh?
No, that's not going to get you off the hook. You've just got to own it.
I do. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for declaring him a loser. But we need to make it official. Ty, go for it.
I'm a loser, baby. Ooh.
Even after all the good he did.
I know. After all the good he did of enlightening us and, you know, pointing out that Nightmare Alley was...
I actually did not know that.
Yeah. And I didn't know that either until it was just one of those weird things that they were mentioning on TCM. And I went, I didn't know that. Okay, let's go back to the phone line, because I'm sure this individual is very anxious to find out that they are a loser. Hi, who's this?
Told you we'd run out.
So we only have two listeners?
That's it. You're going to have to keep your loserdoms to one or two people.
Okay. Well, let's try another phone line and see if yet another loser lurks out there. Hi, who's this? I heard something. Was that a click?
Eating carrots?
But we did hear something there.
Yeah.
It was not a word, but it was discernible that they were disgusted and click. So I think that counts.
Okay.
They were caller number three. It's just when we hear nothing.
Nothing.
See, that bothers me.
You know, should scare you.
You know, heavy breathing. Does that count? I'm not sure. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. This will be caller number four. This is going very well, I think, today. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Uh-oh. How are you doing?
Well, I think we're doing a little better than you are, but we don't
know. I think so, too. If I'm number four, I'm a loser.
Now, wait a minute. Where's that accent from?
It's actually from West Virginia.
West Virginia. Well, hey.
Country Hills.
You know, Hot Rod Hundley was from West Virginia, and
he used to tell me.
He said that John Denver's song, Country Roads, you know.
Yeah, that's a nice song. Everybody likes it.
You know, the only reason is because West Virginia fit perfectly into that song. He'd never even been to West Virginia when he wrote that
song. But everybody stands. Hot Rod told me that if that's played at a high school game, it's like their national anthem back there. Well, we didn't catch your first name.
My name's Dolores.
Dolores, we are so proud to have you, a movie show listener. We are so proud that you got through on the phone line, but you're not caller number five, which makes you a...
Well, I am sorry that I'm just a loser.
Well, you know, I am too today. I really am. I wish we could bestow fabulous prizes upon you, but the rules shan't be broken.
Boy.
Will they, Ty?
On my planet, I am kind of a loser, like you.
Ooh, a new loser sound.
That was Venom.
Yeah, that's Venom. Okay, now.
For Dolores.
So we had the one call, we had the two call, we had the heavy breathing call, we had Dolores, and now this could be the magic moment for somebody. Hi, who's this?
Well, this is Dave.
Dave, how are you?
Well, so great, thanks.
You are so great, and do you know why?
Well, because number one was a loser, number two was a loser, number three wasn't there. Dolores was nice, but that makes me number five.
You are number five, which makes you a big... You got a drum roll. Not everybody gets a drum roll.
I thought that was going to be a firing squad.
Yeah, you better own it. You are a big...
Wiener.
Of course you are. You have won fabulous prizes worth up to dollars, thanks to our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. Now, you are aware, I'm sure, that you're going to win two movie tickets. So what movie are you going to, and who is going to go with you?
Well, I'm still waiting for Maverick to come out.
Oh, so you're going to squirrel these away?
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting.
It's going to happen. Maverick, May 27th, they promise.
So you can squirrel these away, and you can count on the fact that you'll get a tub of popcorn when you go. You'll get two drinks when you go. And you didn't tell us who you're going to go with, do you know?
Well, I'll take my wife.
That is a wise decision, a very wise decision. Now, because you are so fortunate a soul, to first of all be listening to the movie show, second of all to be a wiener on the movie show, there is one little obligation for the little people out there.
Aww.
That we're losers today. And what do we do?
Well, I'm drawing a blank. I'm just so excited to be a winner.
Well, I can understand that.
I've been a loser before.
Yeah, there's only one person that can truly make a loser feel better about themselves for being a loser. And it is the chairman of the board, old Blue Eyes himself. Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's
Mr. Sinatra.
It's Frank. You got it.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
Nobody drives it home like Frank.
I like the drum thing.
Bum-a-da-bum. Bum. Absolutely. Okay, another rousing rendition of Telephone Torture with a big thanks to our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. They had Popcorn Day on Wednesday.
I got
the notice, and I thought, you know, I'm going to run down to the, you know.
Did you?
No, but I should have. I was babysitting.
Connie V could have gotten some free popcorn.
I know, we could have gone in there and gotten popcorn, but.
Is anybody calling Connie yet?
No, only you. That's what we're afraid of.
Gonna go see Grandpa.
Oh, there was a cute little video I showed Steve, and he goes, because it said, I'm going to dream of Grandpa, and Steve goes, yes, and I'm going to kill him.
Did you see the look in his eyes? He had the little red eye thing, and he turned like Michael Jackson in Thriller.
You know, what are we going to do with him, Melissa? Here's this sweet little grandpa moment that I had this week. I've waited so long to be a grandpa, and Steve just...
Enjoy it while you can.
Steve just turns on. All right, let's continue with the movie show here at KSL News Radio. And, Steve, let's review another movie. There's a little movie that you and I did not fully appreciate, and it's called Royal Treatment. So let's get a little sound on that one. Here we go.
I just got a call to do the hair and makeup for the royal wedding for $50,000.
It's like a glass slipper.
But money.
Welcome to Lavania. May I introduce Prince Thomas?
I'm Izzy of 183rd Street.
I hardly know Lauren. This is nothing but an arranged marriage.
Oh, my goodness. This movie, Steve, as I started watching it, I thought, oh, my goodness, every single scene was reminiscent of not just another movie, but multiples of other movies. And we have this young woman walking down the street, passing out donuts. She's beloved. She goes into the beauty salon.
She's Italian.
She's Italian in the Italian neighborhood. Everybody loves her. She is that. But she doesn't particularly love her life as a hairdresser. That was kind of forced on her by her mother. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to help her mom. And this little beauty shop is always blowing fuses, setting things on fire, and so on. But she loves to pick up the tabloid every day. And she reads about Prince Thomas, who is here from some little unknown, you know, Lavania or whatever it's called. Yeah. And so anyway, well, through a quirk of events, imagine this, we've never seen this before, he needs a haircut. And he's got this manservant who takes care of him.
I kind of like the manservant.
Yeah, I did too. He was the highlight of the movie for me.
Kind of like a Sir John Gielgud.
But yeah, kind of like in for Dudley Moore.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. So anyway, He thinks he's calling the best hair salon in New York, but this one has a similar name, and it's down in the hood, basically. And so the prince, you know, they summon her for $500. She's going to do the prince's hair. Of course, sparks are flying, and she's really put off by the fact that this woman gets dressed down. He doesn't come to her. She walks out in a big huff.
Yeah, the servants are treated badly.
But there were sparks, so he ends up going down and gets his hair cut. And then it's such a nice job, and he's getting married, this custom-made marriage, so the dynasty can survive, because, of course, they're broke. We've never... This is all original.
We literally saw the same movie this week.
I mean, all of us have heard this stuff 9 million times. We've seen it on the screen in so many renditions over and over. But anyway, she takes her two assistants from their little salon, and they go to this beautiful little kingdom. But oh my goodness, there are some things going on in the kingdom. There are tracks there. On this side of the tracks, everything's just perfect, almost like a postcard, but it all folds up at 6 o'clock. But they want to go down for the nightlife, so they cross the tracks. They're in the bad part of town. But that's where all the good people
They're having fun.
That's where the
It's like Titanic when they're dancing in the third level.
Exactly. And so anyway, so the prince, you know,
he'd never been there.
He'd never been there, but he's falling in love. And he's got a sweet little potential wife, and she's too having second thoughts because they're being rammed together to, you know, because mom and dad want the royal factor and want to develop the bad part of Lavania.
Yeah, but right where the little school is. They couldn't do it, you know, in the outside of town. They had to burn the school down in order to build their luxury hotel.
It is just terrible. And my favorite part in this whole movie, as we mentioned, the manservant, I can't remember his name right now, but he is quite charming.
It's like Walter or something?
Yeah, I think it is Walter. Something like that. But my favorite part, they have all these gorgeous old Ford trucks in this movie.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. And there's one scene.
Like vintage, like
where
50s.
All of a sudden, she's decided she's going to make a difference in this little school because she finds out these kids don't even have desks or chairs.
Yeah, they're sitting on the floor.
So they gather up all of these. And she does all this clandestinely. Can you imagine at Buckingham Palace having somebody who's in doing the prince's hair say, oh, yeah, drop off all your toys at the front gate. And those guys with the big bear hats, yeah, give them the. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway. So they take all the old furniture, they take all the toys down, they're delivering them to the kids. Mom and Dad are freaking out on both sides.
Oh my goodness. On top of that, they brought food. They're going to feed them spaghetti because the kids haven't eaten.
That's right.
And they've got toys and...
And
haircuts.
Haircuts. She gives haircuts to everybody, including the little boy who's hiding in the barrel because he doesn't want his haircut. Oh, my goodness. I was just,
I was laughing my tail off. I was writing things down, and I was just howling.
It is, I am not kidding you. You have seen this movie about 45 times before. It is cliche from beginning to end. Now, in fairness to the movie, It tries to be sweet. There's nothing horribly offensive in this movie. As I mentioned, when I described it last night on the phone to Dee, she said, sounds like something I'd like.
I wrote, massive buckets of cheese. That's what this movie is.
Ooh, yeah. The cheese factor is off the charts. The redundancy is off the charts. So what's the grade?
C minus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know.
It's so dumb.
It is a 2-star movie. You've seen much, much, much better on Hallmark. So there you have it.
I just was in shock.
Yeah. It couldn't be rated more than PG.
It's PG.
Okay.
PG, and it's on Netflix.
I know. Netflix. Oh, where did you go wrong?
So what are you giving it?
Royal treatment. I'm giving it like 2 stars. Maybe 2.5 would be generous.
Well, wait till Deanne gets home.
Oh, I know. She will like this much better than I.
She's going to yell at you.
The Movie Show.
And what's with black? It's depressing.
Looks like you're going to a funeral.
Maybe I am.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. We're moving into our final 21 minutes, Steve.
Yeah, and we've saved the best movie for last.
We have said, well, of course, and we should. Since the big movie review was not really the best movie, it was just the big movie on the big screen.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. It had a cast. I mean,
William
come on.
Hurt. I mean,
I know. So, anyway, coming up, we're going to do Telephone Torture, and we've got Munich, The Edge of War, which both Steve and I have seen, and that really, truly is a good movie. Okay, Steve, I think it's time. This is the moment that millions have
every
been
time
waiting
I think
for.
We've dodged that bullet.
No,
there,
no,
there
no.
It
there,
is.
There's no dodging this fine quality moment in Utah radio.
Sure. Okay.
It's time for the Movie Show.
Run, Melissa. Run.
Yeah, Melissa's grabbing a cupcake and running. It's time for the Movie Show. Top
10.
I'm Mr. Red.
Wow. Wasn't that spectacular?
I think painful is the word you're looking for.
No, spectacular is the word that we're looking for. That most anticipated moment for a few poor deprived souls.
You can't even keep a straight.
Oh, yes, I can. Kind of. Okay, Movie Show Top 10, Steve. This is a sponsored segment. It's that important.
Yeah.
Call Climate Services.
Love them.
We do love them. What, despite the fact that they sponsor this?
No. Love them regardless.
Regardless. Absolutely. They are wonderful people to do business with. You know, Scott has been a friend of mine for a long, long, long time.
And right up until you had that boiler put in.
Right. No, we love the boiler. I think he likes driving down to Eureka and enhancing his reputation that way.
Well, I think it was a challenge for him.
It was a challenge. But he could tell you stories.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, when I go, I not only want me a new propane boiler here, Scott, but I want to keep the old coal oil furnace, too. And you ought to see the plumbing on that thing that those guys did. It's a work of art.
Oh, I
bet. It really is. So if for some reason, all I have to do is flip 4 levers.
Just four.
And I can fire up the old furnace that was put in the 1920s.
Still buy coal?
Well, it was converted to oil.
Oh, okay.
So, see, this is the kind of stuff this guy can do. He's probably going, don't tell anybody this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Just once in a life.
Just
a lifetime.
Just that once time for the thrill of it all. Okay. But anyway, he's going to be coming down when we convert to natural gas. So, all right.
Any day now.
We're any day now. Okay, so the movie show top 10.
Yeah.
The Matrix Resurrections. To tell you the truth, I'm kind of surprised that this is falling out of the top 10 this fast.
Well, it's also available online.
Right, so. Right. But still, you know, on the big screen.
Yeah.
I have about 36 million domestically.
I got 105 foreign. It's at 141.
Licorice Pizza is number 9. It's made 9.6 million domestically.
Another 4. It's at 14.
West Side Story. Wow, it's fallen under $1 million on the week tally. It's made just about $34 million domestically.
Another 24 foreign. It's at 58. It costs 100 to make, so there's still a little.
Yeah,
need to make up some room there.
This is such a good movie. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, number 7, American Underdog, $21 million.
Nothing foreign yet on that.
I can't even pronounce this one. Ryutu Sabakasasu.
Well, it's Bell, actually.
This is the real name.
Yeah, I know, but
the real name, Steve. I'm
pretty sure you weren't even close. But
authenticity.
Oh,
I see. We're all about the real deal
here.
Well,
if you look for
the
movie Ryu, you won't find it because it's called Bell in America.
America. Yeah. Okay, it's made $1.6 million.
Yeah, another 58 though. Foreign. It's at 60.
Well, you know.
So there.
That's foreign, Steve.
Well.
The King's Man has made just under $30 million domestically. Neither of us like this movie much.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Yeah. Another 65 foreign, though. It's at 94.
The 355, this is where you bring together all of the really cool, tough women, you know, who are working in the spy arena in the world, big stars and everything else. You kind of turn them loose on the bad guys, but as you pointed out, you kind of need a really good plot to go along with this. You just can't rely on the star power and the action. It's actually got to make a little sense and have a little meaning to it.
Well, and it can't be derivative. We've seen this story 1,000 right. times. And when they have to explain everything to you, then you know the writing is not good. You know.
Too bad they didn't just kind of flash up the old cards. Meanwhile,
you know. Yeah, something.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Okay, so that's number 4. And as I very delicately turn the page with my fat little fingers, there we go. Number 3 is Sing 2, fun movie.
A great film. It's made $219 million worldwide. And yay, Sing 2 actually was better than Sing 1.
Yeah, and 120 domestically. And then this is the movie that is just killing it all. And the domestic numbers on this are just about $700 million. As we mentioned in our movie news, it's at 1.625, isn't it?
Well, as of Wednesday, it's 704 domestic, 926 foreign. It's at 1.63, so it has gone over.
Yeah, it could hit $2 billion even without the Chinese market, but that would be a tough slog. But if China opens to it, and I think they eventually will, it'll be a $2 billion movie.
Yep, agreed.
Wow, whoever thought. Scream, we predicted this last week. That Scream, even though I didn't like the movie much, it would be the number one movie. It indeed is, a little over $30 million domestically.
Well, as of Wednesday, it's now 36 and 17, so it's at 53 worldwide, and I liked it more than you. At least I appreciated it more than you did.
Appreciated it.
Well, because I knew what it was trying to do, and it failed to do. It did that.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a very stabby movie.
It is a very stabby movie, and you have to.
I mean, it's like, come on.
I mean, all movies, you have to.
I got tired. Just
I know you have to
change hands.
The poor guy had, a tennis elbow just from stabbing people.
Exactly.
You know? Or should I say, guys? Never mind. But that's not the case. See, I totally led you astray there.
You tried to.
I've seen the movie.
You know.
I could write the next Scream movie because I'm getting so good at justifying the mediocrity of that film.
You can stoop to that level, can you?
No, even I wouldn't do that. I don't know. How much do they pay?
Well, they made $53 million
bucks.
Millions
and millions and millions.
The Movie Show.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've saved the best movie for the last, and this is a Netflix film. It almost makes up for royal treatment. This is Munich, The Edge of War. Let's get the sound on that.
I believe the name Paul von Hartmann is known to you.
Yes, sir. We were at Oxford together.
He has a document in his possession. We'd like you to go to Munich tomorrow and get the document.
Hitler is lying when he claims to want peace. People will suffer. That document is the proof.
This starts off in 1932 at Oxford. We have these three friends. You know, kind of, we've seen this before where you have the two guys and then that one gal who's just gal pal.
Yeah.
And she is just great. And we have one guy that's from Germany who's very, very dedicated to his background, ancestry,
very
and the future of Germany, because things are just beginning to unfold, really seriously unfold in 1932.
Yeah, big fan of Hitler's.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. And then we have the guy who is British, who is looking to work in the Foreign Service and so on.
Leggett.
You know, up through. And then we this young woman who happens to be Jewish, you know, who's just a spark plug, and she's the one that's always stimulating the conversation. Well, anyway, we flash forward to 1938, I believe.
Yeah.
In 1938, and we start seeing things unfold on both sides. You know, war is becoming just imminent. There's talk of the Sudetenland, and Jeremy Irons plays the part of Neville Chamberlain. I don't think I've ever seen that character
played
better.
And he is the Prime Minister of...
The Prime Minister at the time. He's the one that so famously came back and said, peace for or peace in our time. You hear all the
different quotations. Well, you hear his name and you hear appeaser.
And what's interesting is this takes a rather sympathetic look at him. He is just so dedicated to not dragging his country and the world through another world war.
Yeah.
I've never seen it quite... It's not totally sympathetic, but it showed a side of Chamberlain and had some quotes and so on. One thing that we ought to mention is this was written by Robert Harris, who wrote Fatherland. For those who have read that alternative history, this is not an alternative history. It's just kind of historical fiction. Mm. It's based on real events, real facts, and a lot of things.
Maybe the two guys that are...
The two guys are obviously the fictional characters, and but that adds the thread that we can relate to the world events.
Right.
I thought this movie was very well done, and I wasn't enamored by the person who played Hitler. I've seen that role better before, but there were some amazing things, and I felt that I learned a lot. I read some articles on it, and you know, this is historical fiction. But it's kind of like Michener. It's based on real events, real people, real things that really did happen. But then the story just woven around it.
Yeah, I have to agree. Although I'm glad you weren't enamored by Hitler. That's reassuring.
Well, I mean the character who played Hitler.
Bruno Ganz played him the best of anyone I've ever seen. But yeah, this guy was kind of creepy, kind of ferret-eyed.
And he didn't have the power that Hitler, you know, had.
But George MacKay, who is one of the fictional characters, he was in 1917. He was the young man that had to go deliver the information to save all those troops. He's a brilliant actor. I loved him. And you're right, Jeremy Irons made Neville Chamberlain actually seem like he knew what he was doing and didn't mind being kind of
he said if my reputation goes to pot because I made the peace and we saved millions of lives, then that's something.
Then so
that
be
I'll
it.
Show
he said, I can't. And I thought, you know what? That's a pretty cool way to describe him. And I'm glad they did it that way. This is on Netflix, as you mentioned. I gave this a B+. It's PG-13, surprisingly.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. We're on the same page.
Best of the week. Jar for some language. Episodes will air.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.